What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 129. All right, so I'm back with your favorite guest, my wife, the lovely Jess Wilson. And today we decided to put on our tinfoil hat based on a couple of things that we've heard and read. And we're like, hey, let's just dive into all of this fun stuff. You know, like, is the world really going to end? There's an MIT computer simulation, I guess, that had come out a long time ago. People were talking about this week. And it pretty much says that our civilization is doomed. You'll hear more about it. And it's pretty fascinating stuff. So if that is the case, who knows if it is. We had some fun with it. Talked a little bit about some of the craziness going on. And like I said, just kind of had ourselves a good old tinfoil hat wearing day. So hopefully you guys enjoy this one. Hopefully it provides some insight into what happens if the world is going crazy. Also, too, if the world's going crazy, guess what you're going to need? You're going to need some amazing meat, right? If everything's like getting like crazy and not sure where you're going to get like really good food from, hey, we got you covered. So make sure you guys go to crossomeats.com, check out the a la carte options. You can check out the subscription option. We do different kind of bundle boxes where you can get a bunch of different stuff put together. So tons and tons of different opportunities to be able to get the best meat. And if you're a subscriber, even if everything goes crazy, you still have, you know, meat coming to your doorstep every single month. So again, go to crossomeats.com, check it out, put your order in, and we would love the opportunity to be able to provide you some amazing beef. All right, everybody, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name's Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. I have your all favorite guest here.
Woo woo!
Yeah. Don't really know what that was, but it is Jess. So today we're going
to... That's why it's 8 o'clock and I'm like, we're trying not to be tired.
Oh.
I'm getting excited.
Getting excited. There you go.
Getting excited.
No,
we're normally like almost in bed.
Yeah, it is totally close to my bedtime. Especially right now, I think I've got a case of like what used to be called a head cold, which is now probably like the sinus coronavirus, maybe. I don't know. Is that what it would be?
Probably.
Probably.
There's probably some variant name for it.
New variant. The Omer X Cron?
Sure.
Maybe. All right. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go down the path of the tinfoil hat wearing crazy people that we are. Right?
Sure.
I mean,
I'm game.
I think we used to be considered conspiracy theorists until they all started coming true. And now it's just right. Like we're fortune tellers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we want to chat with you about is I don't know if this obviously isn't like a new article that came out, but I think Joe Rogan posted about it and I've seen like maybe a couple other people, which is they built this like super cool computer simulation thing at MIT, which is where allegedly a bunch of really smart people are. Mm-hmm. They go to school, study there, right?
Yep.
And essentially what it's done is it's predicted events. I think the computer program or simulation was originally built in like 1973. And it's kind of been like super accurate about everything. And it essentially shows that by the year 2040, civilization will essentially cease to exist. So I don't know that means by reading the article and kind of looking into it that like the world is going to end, right? Like an asteroid's going to hit. It's not simulating that. It's basically saying like a civilization can only get so far until it essentially kind of eats itself. And that's kind of like the threshold, which, and then the fascinating thing though, is that along with some of the other predictions is it said essentially like 2020 was going to be like the turning point for this. So, I mean, think back 2 years ago, we're all living like pretty good, like 2 years and 3 months ago from today. Cause I think that, what was it like yesterday or today was like the 2 year anniversary of the announced lockdowns for coronavirus.
Yeah. Yep.
And so
right about spring,
which
break.
Is hilarious that I actually have a cold right now. I don't know why that's funny to me, but
sick, twisted humor.
Yes. Yes. But it did say like the year 2020 is kind of where, so it's like, you would see like the quality of life is like going up and up and up. And then like 20, it starts kind of coming back down and down and down until essentially what they predict is going to be the collapse. So why are we talking about this? Why do we have our tinfoil hats on believing some computer simulation that the people at MIT talked about? Well, somebody had sent, it was a podcast, and there's probably lots of people that don't like this person, but his name's Charlie Kirk, and he was talking with a pastor about, like, kind of like, again, way down the tinfoil hat stuff. Maybe, do you guys ever hear this? It was, what was it, like 2 weeks ago? I think we listened to it when we were coming back from Boise from, what, Kennedy's tournament?
Yep, so yeah, 2 weekends ago.
Yeah, and so it was within the last couple of weeks that came out, and it was with Jack Hibbs, a pastor from Calvary Chapel, which is the church that we actually used to go to as a Calvary Chapel. Not the same and one Caldwell, as him.
Yeah, yeah, we didn't go to that one.
Yeah, different church, but same church, you know, umbrella or whatever. So anyways, they were talking about all this stuff with the World Economic Forum and, like, I can't remember, was it 8 things that they were trying to accomplish?
Yeah, like the 7 goals by 2030, I think.
7 goals, yeah, by 2030. And it was just, it was insane, right? Like, going through those. And then why it was so fascinating to me, though, is because, like, they would basically do, like, here's one of the stated goals for the World Economic Forum. And then, like, here's biblically what this talks about. And just super interesting to me to listen to it. Again, whether you agree or disagree, like, I thought it was pretty fascinating to, like, take, like, what some of the most important, powerful, you know, bankers and you know, policymakers, and again, a lot of the power brokers around the world, whether you want to go further down the rabbit hole or not, they all kind of, like, hang out together. And what is it, Davos, Switzerland or something like that? Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Where they have a yearly.
Yeah, they have
yearly,
like,
or bi-yearly they do
I think it's yearly.
Yeah.
They have, like, these get-togethers, and then they kind of, like, set policy. And a lot of really, really powerful people, like people that you probably, some you know and some that you don't know that are behind the scenes. So anyways, again, whether you agree with any of this or not, it was, like, super fascinating because it was like, here's one of the goals, and then, like, here's what the Bible says about it. And then it's almost like, here's how they're trying to implement it. And it was just super interesting listening to that. And so I wanted to chat with you because let's assume that maybe some of this stuff is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is, I don't know, like a battle for good and evil going on, because I believe that. I think mm-hmm. you do too, right?
100%.
And whether it's like the, you know, the elites are ripping baby parts. I mean, let's not go down that road, right? Like, but I truly do believe that there are forces for evil that are working against us, because the truth is, and this is something that George Soros had talked about, whether you know him or not, but basically he doesn't believe he's God. But the quote was, "I don't believe there's a God, but if there was, it would be me." And I think there's a lot of really, really powerful people who have that distorted version of reality, at least in my opinion, right? If there's no God, if there's no one to serve, then you must be God, which means everyone else should serve you if you're able to acquire enough power, right? Like think about that, how often that happens, like these little mini tyrants that work at the mall, right? As a mall cop, right? Like yeah. How often do you see? So now like take that same personality type and give them billions and billions of dollars and limitless power. Of course, they're going to try to manipulate things. Mm-hmm. So the question for you is, let's just assume that some of this is even half right, that there are evil forces who are working together to kind of create their own version of the world that they want to see, which doesn't exactly take us kind of quote unquote common folks into their account, right? Like we're dispensable, right? We're disposable. Like we come and we go, we live our nice little lives. We try to get fancy cars and live a happy little life. But these are people who are like shaping the future, right? So what do you do if that is the case? What do you do if we are heading for a civilization collapse? Because it doesn't necessarily mean everyone's going to die. It just basically kind of what this model is predicting is that some major supply chains will shut down. Agricultural shipments will shut down. We have this global economy. I mean, we're even seeing with Ukraine and Russia that, you know, Ukraine is, I think, one of the top 3 largest producers of wheat. And so a lot of the stuff that's happening right now won't affect people for a little while because the supply chain takes a while, right? But like there's some things coming toward us that we may or may not want to see. Like we've already seen it with fuel prices and everything else, but with supply chains and everything else. So the question is that it seems like if you're a rational, logical person, we're kind of heading in the wrong direction. Is that World War III? I hope not. I'd rather not, you know, get nuclear bombed. But like it seems like we're heading toward tough times. Like it just really points to that. And I've talked a lot about that the last couple of years on the podcast. So what do we do? That's the question I'm going to pose to you in this podcast. If we can, I've sat here and blabbered to kind of set this up, and feel free to do your own research on anything that I talked about. I can tell you that a lot of what I've heard around kind of the tinfoil stuff kind of makes sense to me. but I'm not 100%. But one thing that I do see is that it does seem like we're heading in the wrong direction. We're headed for a lot of challenges, whether it's, you know, some of the racial tensions or some of the COVID stuff, or now what could be World War III, like fast approaching, right? Like all of these things have just been bam, bam, bam. Seem like there's like 10 years of nothing like too crazy. And I don't know, maybe social media magnifies this, but it's like in the last couple of years, it has been like one thing after the other, just division and lies and media manipulation and just craziness. So I don't see this getting any better before it probably gets worse first. So what do we do? That's your question. Now you get to solve all the world's problems, Jess.
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. I thought you were asking like the listener.
No.
I have no idea.
What do you mean you have no idea? So let's say that all of this is true. Like, where do we start? Where do we start? What's your, let's say the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and maybe in a year from now, or maybe in 10 years from now, supply chains are breaking down and people are starving. Like, what if that happens? What are you personally going to do to ensure your safety and the safety of those around you? You guys should see the look she just gave me. Like total, she would scream at our daughter for giving me that eye roll, like shaking her head.
I have no idea. I did not know you were posing that question to me. Oh my gosh. I have no clue.
Wish I had some Jeopardy music to play right now.
Yeah, right.
No clue. So what would you like if all the stuff hit the fan? What are you going to do?
Well, I go to one where it's like, what are you going to do? Like, if all that's going on, like, I don't know how much you can prepare, how much you can, I mean.
Can I tell you what I would do then?
Yeah.
If you don't want to answer it.
Please do.
Because maybe you can, like, at least join the conversation, right? So, what I think is so important right now, and I think, I made a social media post about this, which is, I think it's so important right now to start, like, I don't know. Do any of you guys ever get like social anxiety? That I think that this is the best way that I could put the analogy, which is like, maybe you're in this like super crowded room. And I know a lot of, at least I've been told that a lot of people with a certain personality type, it's like an entrepreneur type. I can't remember which one it was. But it's like a lot of people with that mindset, like if they get in a crowded room, like they're looking for exits because they're always like thinking a step ahead in case something happens. Like, I don't know what that personality, you probably would know that more than me.
I don't know.
But anyways, like we'd had this conversation when I was at ClickFunnels several years ago. And it was basically like whatever personality type it is that I had, and I can't remember which one it was. It's like you get in a room and you're always able to find a way out of it. And so I almost look at it like this. To where and I think some of that is social anxiety, right? To where you get surrounded by all these people and you're like, okay, if I got to get out of here, where the hell do I go? Cause like, this is stressing me out. So anyways, like I almost feel like that same situation can be applied right now, which is the anxiety, the tension, all of that is kind of building right now. And so my mind instantly goes to like, how do I get out of this? If this happens, like, how do I get out of it? And so I don't know. It's almost like the old Boy Scout thing, like, right? Like, which is be prepared. So I know for myself, like I would be very, very nervous if I was super dependent on infrastructure, especially like city infrastructure. Because if hell breaks loose and wars break out and things like that, you lose power, you lose maybe some of the utilities, things like that. Like, what do you do at that point, right? Like if you lose power and you're on city water and you have no way to pump water, you're in a tight spot, right? So like, that's the thing that I go to. Like, what do you think?
Well, I guess that makes sense. And I guess where I was saying was like when I was like, how much can you really prepare? It's like, if the whole world is gone, then that's kind of where my mind was going. If what you're saying
not the world ending, but civilization ending, right? Like civilization ending in the sense to where maybe you can't just run to the grocery store and pick up your groceries real quick because the supply chains have broken down.
Yeah.
Or because maybe large scale agriculture isn't able to get fertilizer or whatever, right? Like stuff like that starts happening. Like, what do you do? Because a lot of people, I think, would just kind of throw their hands up and be like, I don't know what the hell to do. I don't know how to grow my food. I don't know how to get water. Like, I need to go and pillage and whatever.
Well, and I guess it goes back to a conversation I was having earlier today with somebody where it was just like, And I, my exact words was, we have all become such babies because we're so, like, I guess you could call it like pansies or like whatever other word you would want to use, because it is, it's like, oh, I need to go do that. But, you know, on a working standpoint, you're like, oh, but I can't find the shovel, or I can't, my backhoe's out of gas. And it's like, well, then what else are you going to do? Like, figure it out. And that's what we were saying, is it's like back in the day, like when you were, you know, pioneering and they were figuring things out, like you needed water to get from A to Z. Like you dug a trench, you didn't have pipes, and you didn't have, you know, you didn't just call the irrigation guy and have him come out and do it all for you. Like you figured it out. And I think that's kind of where it goes back to, just, you know, from that standpoint, then it's, my thought is, you prepare your home in the sense of, what is the attitudes you have? What is the, is it the you figure it out type attitudes, or is it the, I'm going to call somebody? Now, again, there's two sides to that, I guess, but it's also like, can you be self-sufficient in at least some things? Like, can you just figure it out? Or is it just like throw up your hands and, well, I don't know, it's just too hard. Like, I think there's so many people that I hear all the time, and you could use that from a fitness analogy even, of like, oh, it's just so hard to be fit. It's like, well, not really. Like, you go out and walk and put the fork down. Like, it's not that hard. But again, like, it's, I mean, but, you know, I mean, but people, I think we've become like these babies, like these wimpy babies that, like, it's hard, it's uncomfortable. Like, God forbid we have to do anything that's remotely uncomfortable or hard.
Jeez. Just offended everybody.
Yep, I guess so.
But no, I think that is such a big part of it though, right? Which is,
well, I think that goes back to, like, we even tell our kids sometimes, like, you know, the kids will have a chore or something and they're like, well, but I don't know where the wheelbarrow is, or the tire's flat. I'm like, well, then figure it out. What are you going to do? Like, better go get a bucket, or, like, I don't know, like, figure it out.
Well, and I think, like, when you live how we do, you kind of are forced to, right? Like, so, yeah, so many things.
Absolutely.
I remember when we were remodeling our house, and your dad was looking at electrical stuff or something, and he's just like, what the F? And I'm like, what? And he's like looking at it, and he like looks again, and he's like, what the F? Like, he just couldn't figure it out. And then it makes sense though, because again, like when you live how we do, you don't have necessarily just a ton of contractors, or like my dad didn't have a ton of money to pay for that stuff. So what did you do? You figured it out.
You that wired your bedroom, yeah, with stereo wire. Yeah, that was super safe when we first moved in.
Yeah, that's probably not the best example, but it was like, that's what you did. You had to figure it out.
And there was, I think, literally a light switch in our bedroom that had stereo wire on in it. Like, yeah.
Speaker wire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the light worked somehow, yeah, or
magically,
another.
Magically, burnt the house down.
I know. That was pretty amazing.
It's the figuring it out. And I think then you go back, and it's things we've talked about so many times, but it's like those primal instincts where it's like, at the root of all things, we need like food, shelter, and water, like to survive, not to survive comfortably, but like to survive, you need food, shelter, and water. So it's like, okay, how do we have food, shelter, and water?
There's
and then
part
how
of
do
the-
you preserve your food? How do you keep your food from rotting? How do you, you know, all those things that, again, like you said, we do live so differently. And I think sometimes people don't understand that, like, not only are we rural, like, okay, yeah, we're on a main highway, but it's like, we're 2 hours away from any major city, or even kind of a city. They're really not even cities compared to most people, but like, we have little things in between. But then let's also say, and help to understand, we live in the bottom of the second deepest, or like the, I don't know, not the second, I guess that's Hell's Canyon, but like a huge canyon. So there's many times like the roads are closed, like whether it's trees, fires, floods, like there's times where it's literally like, and you ain't going north and you ain't going south. Like, so what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that forces us, but that also kind of gives me hope in a sense, to where if something happened, I think that most people are pretty resilient if they have to be. So I always look at it, you know, kind of from both sides, which is, number one, you kind of look around and you're like, man, we're all screwed if it really hits the fan. Mm-hmm. Like even us, like we feel, mm-hmm, like we're pretty tough and resilient, but
yeah.
You know, if we couldn't go and grab this real quick, like life would change a lot. Now, having said that, we're pretty well set up with like water systems and stuff like that in terms of,
but again,
prepared.
One of the things that we always talk about is it's like, okay, well, if this was going on, then, you know, again, like, okay, you go shoot a deer, but then what are we going to do with that? Like, if we don't have electricity, we don't have freezers. So then what are you doing? And, you know, I mean, those are questions that it's like, you know, if when you can't just run and yeah, we can have a bunch of gas here in preparation of if the power goes out, we're good for a week, but that's not going to last us. Oh, when yeah. the gas it in town doesn't
like if that all happened, repumped. it would completely change everything.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean though. I look at it to where it's like, we'd all be screwed. But then the other side of it is like, you know, if people weren't worried about which flavor of mocha that they got and they were actually having to put all that brain power into survival, maybe we would be fine. You know, maybe like a big hard reset like that would be okay. Because like what I fear is going to happen, kind of coming back to some of the tinfoil hat stuff, right, is that people will only be pushed so far until they're like, I'm done with it. And that's where you see revolutions, you see systems collapse, you see governments collapse, things like that. Now, I'm not saying we're anywhere near that right now. I don't believe that we probably are realistically. But I mean, kind of what we have, and if you're our age, you know, kind of that 30 to 40-ish, you know, maybe even up to 50-ish, you haven't seen a lot of hardship, right? Like we've been at relative peace. I know that there's been a couple of wars, but the reality is that outside of the people who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan, like we haven't faced wartime. And so
there was like they didn't call it a depression. What was it? The
housing
like,
bubble.
Yeah. Like 08, 09, like that was rough, but yeah, reality
people
lost
their jobs and it sucked
But I don't know that people were starving.
Right. Yeah. I don't think, you know, most people were. People lost their house and their jobs and their livelihoods. But it wasn't a matter, I don't think, for the most part, at least from my experience, of people like literally like, I'm not sure how I'm going to live through this. It wasn't breadlines and, you know, stuff like that. So again, like if you're our age or maybe even if you're up to 60, right? Like you were probably young enough to where you don't really remember a lot of the hardships. Because you talk to some old timers, right? They tell you about gas lines. They'll tell you about, you know, some of these crazy things, doing bomb shelters at school, right? Like worried that the Soviets were going to, you know, maybe you're a little bit older than us and maybe you had to go through that. But I guess the point is that we've had such relative peace that if a world war did break out and we were doing bomb shelters and we were worried about getting nuked, like things would change in an instant for us. Like we would, I think, probably stop being so materialistic and just be like, hey, we just want to live. And I think that maybe on a side tangent, that's why like this whole stuff with Russia does freak me out a little bit. And it's like, I'm not super excited to go into war with a superpower. You know, like I don't want to live through that if I can at all help it. But it seems like maybe we're headed that direction. And so maybe from like a faith standpoint, you know, when you hear a pastor like, I think it's Jack Hibbs, I want to say, you know, talking about kind of the biblical side of this. Like, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that are happening. But I also know that, you know, where I struggle with things like, and I guess you said it wasn't the end of the world though, because I mean, it also says in scripture that it's like, no one's going to know the time, the place, like when, you know, the end of the world occurs. But I mean, it's also, this is where I guess when I said like, sometimes it's so big for me to even think about because it's like, what do we really have control over? That's where like I get sometimes where it's like, you throw your hands up and you're like, you can only do what you can do. Like, yes, you can prepare your home. You can prepare your mindsets. And I would say if anything over the last few years have taught us, I mean, I remember you and I almost like pinching ourselves being like, holy crap, like we go down to Boise and there really is no food in the stores because like the pandemic was starting and everybody was freaking out and we were like, holy crap, like this is actually happening. So I mean, you see how quick things can change. But I think with that is there's also that piece in a sense where it's kind of like, you know, and I heard somebody say the analogy one point and I'm going to get like preachy in a sense, but like it's almost as if God's already watched the movie and he already knows the ending. So he's just like, I already know what's going on. And it's almost like that's where you have to be able to trust in that. And that like, you know, it also says in scripture, like he's over the government. He's over the powers. He's bigger than all that. He's literally holding our entire world in the palm of his hand. Like, what do we really have to worry about? Like we just kind of, I don't know. It's that struggle of like being prepared and taking it into my own hands and like control and prepare. But then it's also like, what are we going to like the most prepared I can be is know like where I'm going and my relationship with God. And like, that's where That's where you can focus on. So I don't, it's a kind of a struggle. I don't know.
Do you think that, because that's probably one of my like hard struggles, right? Which is kind of knowing that and being like, it's maybe it's not in my control, but then also feeling like almost like a duty to try to sound the alarm if you feel like it needs to be sounded.
For sure. Well, and again, I'm not saying like sit back and just like see what happens. Because just like you talked about last week, I think it was like, you know, you have to take those moves, right? But I think it's just, I guess I look at it more almost from like a peace standpoint of like, what's going to come is what's going to come. And like, I can sit here and freak out about it. I can also do things that I feel like are life skills that, you know, we all need to know and be able to do. And again, you go back that like, you know, we survived. Okay, this is going to sound really crazy, but I'm totally digressing. So probably a lot of people have watched like Yellowstone, and then there was what, 1893 and all that. And we talk a lot about that because that's literally when like our ancestors were coming here to the ranch and settling. And my, you know, grandparents did settled in Alaska in like the early 30s. And like, you look back at them and they were literally living no electricity. They didn't have power tools. They were, you know, horse and buggy. Like, they figured it out. And, you know, a lot of them lived well. Now, granted, there was obviously medical issues and deaths and, you know, all those things. But it's like, okay, this was all doable. Like, they ran crops and they raised animals and they, like, basic things. But for us to think about living like that right now, we're just like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how. And it's, we would all die. Well, how the heck would we all die when civilizations were growing during that time? But it's because I don't think we have any of those skill sets, or people don't practice those today, of just like the basic.
No. Living. Well, those aren't basic skills anymore.
Well, they
right?
aren't exactly. But I guess I'm saying like back in the day, it wasn't Instapot. It was like, here's a pot and some water and cook something.
Well, and I think that that's why it is, you know, I kind of come at it from both sides. Again, thinking one side, like we're all screwed, and the other side being like, well, we've done it before. Mm-hmm. There would be an absolute transition period and not everybody probably would make that transition because it would just be too hard. Mm-hmm. But I think that we would be okay if all of a sudden the global supply chain shut down. Like, a lot of people would die and it would be horrible. But I think that like, it wouldn't be the end of the human race if all of a sudden we couldn't get our coffee from Colombia or something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think we'd be all right. Yeah. But going back to the other thing about kind of having peace, knowing how the movie ends.
Yeah.
So this is where, like, I worry that this is something that a lot of churches have done us a disservice by. So I guess here I am getting ready to get cast out maybe, but I worry that that's been the approach so much is like, just don't worry about it. Just pray about it. God will take care of it. And in the meantime, I truly believe the people who are evil and wish to absorb power have just been like, hell yeah, Christians, stand back, don't talk, don't cause any problems. Like, we'll just keep taking all this power that you're doing while you're sitting there just, you know, because you know how the movie ends.
Yeah.
And so then it becomes a balance of, okay, do you want to get into social media and put your opinions out there and be quote unquote polarizing? No, I don't think anybody enjoys like being attacked anywhere, social media or otherwise. But on the other side of that, like, do you ever feel like you have a duty or a responsibility to share your truths with people that could potentially wake people up to what's going on? Because the thing that's fascinating to me is that I almost feel like personally attacked by this. And again, this could be my own problem. You guys all out there could be completely different. But I almost feel like personally attacked when the media essentially like pees on your leg and then tells you it's raining, right? Like, I mean, maybe you guys have been following this, and this is just one example of it, which is the whole Hunter Biden laptop stuff. You seen any of that stuff?
Not really.
Okay. So to set it up is that basically it came out right before the 2020 election with Trump and Biden. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And that story got released and it was a kind of a bombshell because it was a bunch of crazy stuff. Like the,
yeah. Cause all this contents of it and everything that was like some linked shady, him to all the
shady
stuff.
Business.
Okay. I thought
deals.
You meant something recent.
No. Well, it was,
well,
recent.
I mean, it's recent.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But the reason why it's recent is because when that story broke, all of these people, these government officials and the CIA people and all the media people all came out and said it's disinformation and it was banned from social media, which means no one could learn about that story. Then literally today or yesterday, the New York Times actually came out. They buried it deep into the article, but they said, yeah, that actually was all true. And so like, basically what they did is they lied about a story that they had no way of knowing that it was false, but yet they said it was false. And then 2 years later, year and a half later, they come out and they say, actually, it was true. When everyone knew it was true at the time, it was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And so there's part of me that's like, okay, a story like that, maybe it's not a huge thing in the whole scheme of things, but it's like, if they lie about that, what else will they lie about?
Lie about everything.
Yeah. If they lie about COVID numbers, will they lie about wars? Mm-hmm. If they lie about this, well, I mean, and essentially what you start realizing is that this whole media thing, it's all fake.
Oh, yeah.
And like, there's part of that that's like, oh my gosh, people, just open up your eyes. And then there's the other side of it that's like, it's so big that there's nothing you could ever do to actually help people see the light and see through the BS. So what do you do?
Well, I think there is. Like, I think that there is that, you know, sharing is never a bad thing, especially when it's like, the more people that share stuff like that is going to get, you know, it might be just a few people. It might be, you know, you might not, I guess, change the world, but everybody's going to be changing something. You know, you have an influence no matter who you are.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of been my approach to it, right? Which is,
and I guess I'm saying, well, let me go back to this too. I'm not saying, again, where I was like, you know, the story of like, let's just sit back and like go for the ride. I'm just more where it's like, I know for me, and I'm like a very anxious, like worrier person, where it's like, I almost like my mind can't go there. Not saying I can't say, okay, we do need to prepare for like, I guess I'm like step one, right? Like, okay, if this happens, would we be prepared for these things, or, you know, what would we do? And honestly, I mean, I kind of feel like the whole pandemic was like part of it, right? It was like, okay, so we're not going to the store every other day. Cause especially at the beginning when nobody knew what the heck was going on, it's like us too, like we weren't going. So I was like, okay, I ordered it. And now again, granted, I ordered it, right? So, I mean, I get that part of it. And if that was gone, that'd be gone. But it's like, I have more yeast in my house right now than I probably know what to do with. It's like, okay, if I can get flour and yeast and water, like I can make bread, you know, or like, I mean, things like that where it's like,
I can't eat bread.
Okay. Well, you don't eat bread. We'll all eat bread and you'll eat all the cows out there.
There we go.
But I mean, you know, it was like, okay, step one, like I can do these things. So am I somewhat prepared? And we've talked about it when different things have happened where Derek's like, all right, we need to go stock up on a few of these like critical item things that we have, or, you know, certain canned goods, or, and again, like if it's to where we're literally not doing any of that, then it's like, okay, do we have the means of, you know, drying things? Do we have like, I, you know, all those different pieces, I guess. But what I'm saying, all that to say is like where my mind can't necessarily go to step 20. And that's where I guess I'm like, I can't necessarily worry about like all these things, but at the same time, how can I prepare in a little bit without causing myself like massive anxiety? I guess that's kind of maybe that makes sense. Saying.
Because I don't think panic is ever a good thing. And I think that that's been like one of the reasons why I've, again, just been like shaking my head over the past couple of years. Cause it's been panic about everything. It's been panic about
creates ratings.
Well, it creates ratings and it creates emotion, right? Like, yep. Panic creates fear. Fear is a very, very strong emotion. And like, that's where I sit there and it's like, it baffles me that it works so well though. Like, that's the thing.
Well, and let's go one more conspiracy level deep. And if we're talking about the biblical side of it, it's like, it literally is like, God did not give us a spirit of fear. So it's like, this is not like, it says so many times, like God is not fear. Now there's a difference between of like, okay, the fire's hot, don't touch it. Right? Like there's those like learned logical fear, but the illogical, like, let's just throw fear and get everybody so anxious and scared and freaking out about all these things. Like that is not of God. Which then goes back to that it is of Satan. And like, and it says he's there to, you know, kill, steal and destroy. And it's like, that is, there you go. Spiritual warfare.
Well, and I guess like, it's funny you say that because I feel like that's where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like when we talk about whether or not the MIT simulation is true or not, like, I feel like ultimately that's what's going to get us, is almost like the spiritual warfare side of it, the mm-hmm. fear of it. Because if everyone is whipped up in a frenzy for long enough, you guys, probably everybody out there at this point has heard like the mass formation psychosis, like how you rein it, how you start it, you get enough people scared for long enough, like how all of that actually comes together. And it's fascinating to see like the psychology behind it, right? It's even like someone the other day was talking about like the old study of, if you're standing on the street and all of a sudden you start looking up and going, wow, like without even doing anything else, somebody else will come over and they'll look up.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else will see the two of you looking up and they'll come and look up as well. Why is that? because it's like we want to follow along with what people are doing. Mm-hmm. And so if everyone is, you know, whatever the case may be, if everyone else is saying, hey, we need to stay home and stay safe, then people are like, yeah, let's do that. Right. Mm-hmm. If everyone's like, we need to save the Ukrainian babies, everybody else is going to be like, yeah, we need to do that. We see the emotional stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like we get so scared. We're not thinking like, what does that actually mean though?
Yeah.
What, while we do that, while we stay home and we stay safe, what does that actually lead to? Does that lead to the highest rates of suicide? Does it lead to, you know, kids getting left behind and getting stuck in abusive homes and like all of these other crazy things? Like, we don't even think about it because we're stuck on that very first step.
Yeah.
And so that's why I guess like all of this seems to be like coming together in this crazy melting pot of fear and almost like spiritual warfare. It really is. It's almost to me, it's like good versus evil.
100%.
And so if that's the case, like how do we fight the evil? Well, the way that I believe that you fight evil is that you expose the darkness with light, mm-hmm. right? Like you can't get rid of darkness with darkness. Like all you can do is try to shine the light on it. Yeah. And that's what hopefully maybe this podcast does, because, and it's not all about just like current events, right? Like that's why I try to mix up the guests and talk about different things, because darkness I also believe is fear. It could be, you know, your body not moving right and having the motivation to try to feel better. So you're not scared of going for a walk with your kids, right? Like so much of what I talk about is all around that, because it's just so crazy. Like our society is so fear-based. And then on the flip side of that, so pleasure-based. Mm-hmm. And it's like, again, like, and I've said this 100 times on the podcast, but it's like the two ways that you sell somebody: avoid pain, gain pleasure. Like you want somebody to buy something, those are the two ways. And mm-hmm. I just see it manipulated so much. It's like the fear of COVID and the fear that you're going to die from it. And then it's like, oh, the CDC comes out and it's like, yeah, we updated the numbers. Pretty much no one dies from COVID that's like under 65 and doesn't have a bunch of health problems. Are there some anomalies? Yes, there are always. There's people that die of the flu every year, right? Mm-hmm. But like if we can keep everybody scared enough about it, we can create division. We can win elections, maybe, like all these different crazy things comes from that fear because we're not thinking behind the fear.
Well, and what's so interesting is like somebody was saying the other day, it's like everything was COVID, COVID, COVID. And now like you don't even see anything on COVID. It's all about war in Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, the wars cure COVID. You didn't know that?
Oh, I guess so.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's the bullets or something. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's right. The gun smoke in the air. Gosh. Gets rid of COVID. But I think that that's my point. Is I almost look at it to where it's like, how can we take this serious? When, I mean, do you remember? Like, I think people forget. Like, just think about this for a minute. What was it, like a year ago, year and a half ago? There was a death count ticker on the news channels.
Made me so mad. It was, I hated it.
I mean.
Okay, this is also, let's say, so like sometimes Derek talks over my head. And yes, he's way smarter than I am. But like, I cannot stand to watch the news. I hate it. I absolutely hate every single piece of it. I don't care what station I'm watching. Like, I hate it. I hate the, because again, to me, it just infuses negative and fear and it's yucky. And I feel like you're 90% of the time, it's two people fighting and arguing on there, which like nobody is getting anywhere. I don't trust it because again, all these different things, and no matter, even if they're giving, let's say truth, I feel like everybody has their own opinion. So no one's is literally just stating facts. They're always opinionated. It just goes back. But like I said, I'm with you, like that death ticker. I wanted to freak out every single time I saw it because I was like, okay, let's show the death ticker for cancer. Let's show the death ticker for heart disease. Let's show the death ticker for, you know, obesity, right? Like all these things, but no, because you know, sugar's good and let's have sugar cereal lining all over the stores. But that's totally fine.
Just think about that though. And for whatever reason, like when we were going through the pandemic at the beginning, like it didn't even seem that crazy to most of us, right? But I mean, you look back and you're like, literally any news channel you turned on had like coronavirus cases and deaths. And then they like come out later and they're like, yeah, you can't even count the deaths that fast. Like those numbers were pretty much bogus because like death, like in order to classify a death.
How many people did we talk to where they're like, yeah, they went in because they like broke their leg, but they said they had COVID or it was just like, oh my God.
But it was just wild. And then all of a sudden it was just like, oh, we got a new president. We don't have death tickers anymore. It was just like, that's what I mean by like the peeing on your leg and then telling you that it's raining. It's literally like this is all, it's all like Hollywood produced. It's crazy. You know, like the Ukraine stuff. Like they've come out. There was like the 13 guys that were on the island that were telling the Russians like F you, and then they all died as heroes, and then it turns out they actually surrendered and they're all still alive. And it's like, where did that come from?
Exactly. That's where I get so like frustrated, and I feel like, how do you even make an impact, or how do you fix it? Because it's obviously so twisted, so corrupt. Like how is our media able to do that and not be pulled? But instead we get, what's the name, the gal that we liked a long time ago, Megyn Kelly, who said she dressed it up wrong for Halloween. She was pulled in a heartbeat.
But dressed up as Tina Turner, so yeah. They said she did blackface or something.
Yeah, but then
and it was
yet,
like her childhood idol.
Exactly. But yeah, and like, she's gone, right? But then these guys can literally lie. Like, it's not true. They never come back on and say, hey, we found out this wasn't true. They just like,
well,
that's
okay. New York Times did it to their credit with a Hunter Biden laptop thing. Well, it was okay. Just a year and a half
three
later.
3 years later that nobody's like,
and,
I don't know
and
what's
they
that.
Buried it. Yeah, which is just fascinating. Oh. So
I guess what I was going to say is like, that just is where I get so like overwhelmed with, how do I even make a difference? And then I go back, and maybe you would say this is like small-minded, but I get to my core where I'm like, all right, I can influence my family. I feel like we have influence in our community. And beyond that, like, you know what? I'm going to do what I can do. But beyond, like, I can't even go bigger because it is such a disaster. And I hope and pray that other people can influence their homes and their communities and their areas. And it's like this little multiple effect that we could all can do.
Well,
something.
I think that's what has to happen, right? Like, and I think that as we kind of get close to the end now and wrapping it up, is that you always like, what I always want to try to do on the podcast is like, be like solution based, right? Like we can talk about problems and talk about all that stuff, but it's like, how do you actually solve it? And I think coming all the way full circle back to, like, if civilization does cease to exist the way that it does right, it looks right now, like, I feel like really what we have to get back to is like, first off, getting our own house in order. Right. And I think that's why, because I think that's a microcosm, like ourselves and getting our own house in order and making sure that our family is going to be provided for if that happens. I also look at that with the war stuff. It's like, is Ukraine really our problem right now? Is heartless as maybe that sounds, when we literally have like a war. Like, did you see some of those pictures from south of the border the other day that was going around? That was nuts. Mm-hmm. But like cartel wars, like right on our border. And we have
instead we're worried about daylight savings time.
Yeah. And we're voting on daylight savings time.
Because that's a top concern.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. It's almost like we don't have our own house in order. We have, you know, vets committing suicide. We have roads that are falling apart, bridges that are falling down, buildings, infrastructure. And it's like, let's send $14 billion to Ukraine so they can protect their borders. I mean, don't worry about our borders because we don't, you know, we don't really care about those. We're going to protect the borders over there. Like, all of this stuff is nuts. And it's like, if I guess the one thing that we can do, I feel like, is, and the people that you work with every once in a while, like, she's getting involved. She's running for office. You know, and I think that's not for everybody, but having the conversations, having the courage, I guess, to try to shine the light, I think is the only way ultimately we get out of this. Because the more people that wake up and understand that we're being manipulated, we're being used as pawns, mm-hmm. like the more of us that can do that and to try to shine our light, even if it's a little teeny tiny light, yep. I think the better off we'll all be.
Absolutely.
And alongside of that is, again, getting your own house in order. Like, if you live in the city, and maybe you can't live how we do, and I get it, most people can't. Most people don't want to live how we live, like, right?
Most people don't want to.
But if you do live in the city, just understand, like, hey, maybe it's not a terrible idea to have some stuff in case supply chains do go down. Or, you know, if civilization is coming to an end, like, maybe it's not a terrible idea to start looking at living a little more rural. Mm-hmm. You know, like
well, it's just all the self-dependence, right? Is like, how could you... I mean, and again, even from a short term, right? It doesn't have to be the end of the world, you know, if you're just like, okay, let me think about, you know, step A. It's like, let's say things got crazy. And again, like the power was out for a week, 2 weeks. Yeah. I mean, even a little bit longer. Like, do you have means of, like, hopefully everybody knows you can boil water and it becomes like clean. So it's like, okay, is that a thing? Like, can you get to water? Where would you go get water? Like, if you're pumping it out of a city system, like, just think about it. Have a conversation with your family. Like, do you have a river nearby? Do you have, like, what would you do? Like, just, you know, I mean, you can almost make it like a game. Like, your kid's like, okay, we're going to play Oregon Trail. Like, let's pretend, you know? I mean, but it's just even to
little
have those.
Susie got cholera and died, yeah, right?
Well, I just mean, like, even think about, like, just kind of brainstorm. Like, what would you do? Like, while you're not in the panic and you have those opportunities to kind of just talk through it. And we've done this a couple of times, you know, and again, it doesn't need to be like a full on mapped out plan, but it's like, okay, well, what would we do? Well, we'd do this, this, and this. Okay. But like, what if that happened? Okay. Well then we'd, you know, audible and go do this. And I mean, it's just even to have the conversations, because I think unfortunately, and I guess maybe I'm the one to do it, but I think people sometimes live with their head completely in the sand and don't
or just
even
blindly trust everything that's on the media, whether that's MSNBC or Fox News or CNN or any of it. Like just burying your head in the sand is one thing, but then almost equally as bad is taking any one certain news channel and as gospel.
Yeah.
Right. Like I mean, because you still have your head buried in the sand. You just have it buried in the sand thinking that you actually know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that might be even more dangerous than just totally being like, I'm out on all this stuff.
Yeah.
So I think the point is, as we wrap it up here, guys, is that one way or the other, like whether, you know, whether the MIT computer is right and civilization is kind of winding down as we know it, or if it's wars or whatever, like things are a little crazy right now. And it might not be a terrible idea to start thinking about getting your house in order, maybe start being prepared, thinking about, as Jess said, at least that first step. Like, how do I have food, shelter, and water if things really went sideways on us? And if you have those things figured out, at least you'll buy yourself enough time to kind of figure out what else to do from there. And also, lastly, like, shine the light. Shine the light. It doesn't mean you got to put on your tinfoil hat. I know that we talked about some stuff that maybe you think's crazy. Maybe you don't. Maybe you think that what we talked about wasn't near far enough down the rabbit hole. But either way, like, it seems like there's kind of like this spiritual battle going on. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's heating up a little bit, and it could be pretty interesting to see. I mean, I say it all the time right now that if this truly is the case, like as bad as it would be, I mean, from a historical standpoint, what a better time to be alive. I mean, seriously, like some of the crazy stuff that's going on right now, as long as we don't like get nuked or something like that, because then it wouldn't be a crazy time to be alive. It'd be a crazy time to be dead. But like, I mean, outside of that, like with the COVID and the pandemics and wars possibly, like, I mean, it's a pretty turbulent time to be alive. I mean, let's face it, it's exciting as hell. Like, maybe not in a great way, but it is exciting. Like, it's kind of like Christmas. Every day you wake up, you flip on the news, it's like, I never know what I'm gonna get. Are we got a virus tomorrow? We got a new variant? Do we got World War III? Do we have riots and protests that are virus proof? Like, it's just this mixed bag of all this good stuff that you know, you never know what you're going to get. Never so, get. I mean, we might as well sit here and enjoy it, right?
I guess, yeah. No, I would just say the last thing that I would say is that, like, you're completely right. Is shine that light. And, like, it doesn't mean you have to have some big platform. It doesn't mean you have to be some influential blah, blah, blah. Just, like, be kind to people. Be positive. You know, show. Yeah, just that's all I would say, I guess.
That's it. Shine the light.
Yep.
All right. All right, everybody. Hopefully you like this one. A little bit different. I'm going to take my tinfoil hat back off. I'm going to set it down here beside me until the next time when I put it back on. Maybe we'll go down, you know, people feeding kids and doing stuff like that.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I'm just kidding. All right, everybody. Hopefully you have an awesome day. Have an awesome weekend. Talk to y'all soon. Take care.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.